think Kyle has the junior highs out in the portable already, or no, downstairs for meetings. So if there's any grade 6, 7, and 8 students that want to head downstairs, you're welcome to do that now. Let's pray again before we jump into this. Father, we thank you that Jesus came as a friend of sinners, that we come this morning. We don't just come before a God who is out there, distant, remote. God, we come because of Jesus in our close communion with you, and ask that we would be aware that we have met with you and learned from you during our time together. In Jesus' name, amen. So, it's Mother's Day today. Hopefully by now that's not coming as news to any of you. But in the spirit of Mother's Day, I'd like to invite you to a little imagination experiment with me to start. Imagine yourself as a brand new mother. That is easier for some of you to imagine than others, harder for some of us. But imagine yourself as a brand new mother. You've brought home your child. She is beautiful. She is perfect, you say her to yourself, and you know it's true because her grandparents confirmed it to be true. She's perfect. One evening, you're sitting, holding, and looking at this wonderful, beautiful, perfect child while she sleeps, and you begin to wonder and even dream about what she could become. I mean, the possibilities are almost endless at that point. She'd become a great athlete, with strength and stamina that can't be matched. Or maybe a musician who can draw an audience in and draw emotions out because of her depth of skill on piano or violin or voice. Or maybe she could be a world-renowned researcher who saves lives and brings healing because of discoveries that she makes. Or maybe she could be a diplomat who just learns to work well with people and fosters reconciliation and ends wars and wins the Nobel Peace Prize because she's mastered those skills. Her world is full of potential. And then it hits you. You're sitting there holding her, and she is perfect. But if she stays the way she is, she's not. Because they're supposed to stay that way. They're supposed to grow. She's meant to grow up, and it dawns on you that it's up to you to foster the potential that is in this baby. You have a huge role to play in what she will become one day. So you sit with that pressure for a little while, and you start to consider all the possibilities of what could be. You wrestle with what you can do and what you should do to help this infant become all that she could be. And then it hits you. You stand up, you have made a decision that is going to help your child to thrive, and it could just change the world. So you have several friends and family members who are battling cancer. And so you are sure that discovering the cure for that is one of the single most significant things that someone could do. And so you decide in that moment that you are going to spend the rest of your time that you have with influence on this child, helping this child become the top researcher to find the cure for cancer. That is going to be your focus. There will be music in your house, but only baby Einstein and classical music that will help wire the brain to be smarter. And there is going to be science in the house, but not astronomy and not physics. Only stuff that relates to the end goal of having this great researcher raised up who can find the cure for cancer. And there's going to be TV in your house, but it's only going to broadcast medical shows, like real life medical shows, I mean, not like Grey's Anatomy kind of thing. There's going to be books in the house, but only science textbooks and inspirational biographies about great scientists. And there's going to be food in the house, because you have to eat, but it's only going to be brain food. Only the stuff that research says makes them smarter. You decide in that moment that you're going to homeschool or have tutors for this child, so you can keep them from all like the distracting courses and those distracting things called friendships that might actually take them away from this course that you've laid out for them. Everything from this day forward is aimed towards this purpose of helping her thrive and become this great researcher. Now, if I suggest that to you, what's your response? Yuck. But it could change the world. No? It might not be. No, there's something instinctively in us. When we hear something like that, we say, that's not a life. That's not the way it's supposed to be. There's life is made up of a whole bunch of different things. And to cut things out and only focus on one thing, just it sounds inhumane. Because it is. We instinctively know that life can't just be about one thing, no matter how good that one thing might be. Life can't just be about knowledge and education. Life can't just be about activity or travel or about food. I had this come to mind in the first service. What if I don't like exercise. It's uncomfortable. So I think I need to cut that out and just make my focus food and see how well I thrive. We understand that life is multifaceted and we need to draw and experience and grow in all kinds of different areas if we're really going to be healthy and whole. Someone who is narrowly focused they might succeed in that area, but they aren't going to be healthy. They aren't going to be whole. They aren't going to be really true, mature people. Now, 2 weeks ago, we had a sermon called Becoming Matters. We talked about growth and how God invites us to become like Jesus, to grow on this journey of learning to love God well and love each other well. And it's this growth process that He invites us into. It's important for us to recognize that growing up to be a follower of Jesus, just like growing up as just a human, involves different aspects and different facets of our life. The Apostle Paul described the new life in Jesus by saying, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here. We are this new creation, this new life but it becomes real when we commit our lives to Jesus, but we are growing into it beyond that point. And it takes time and a process to grow into it. And it involves different aspects and different dimensions. And that's really what we're going to talk about today, is those different aspects and different dimensions. Sometimes we can think of, I have my life, and now that I've become a Christian, I just attach this other piece to it. But that actually calls for something radically different. We have our life, and He gives us something new. Jesus' life that overwhelms the rest of it, and it touches every aspect of who we are called to be. As our launching point, we're going to look at one short little verse, Luke 2:52. It's a verse many of us will have heard. And it's the single bridge we have between Jesus as a child and a young teenager and Jesus' adulthood. And it just says this. It says, Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. It's kind of an odd verse in a way because, I mean, first of all, three of the Gospels don't include anything like this. They just kind of have Jesus the adult, and they presume that you understand that He grew up because they're presenting Him as an adult. And so why is it here? Luke is writing his Gospel to Christians, to people who are trying to follow the way of Jesus so that they can know that what they've been taught about Jesus is true. And so as he's telling us, saying, what you want to know about Jesus, here's what I think you need to know about Jesus to confirm what we believe to be true about Him. He includes this little verse. And in it, he's describing the different areas that Jesus grew to be able to become the man that we look at and say, we're trying to follow Him. He grew in these areas. And so for those of us who are trying to follow, it's a somewhat simple but helpful framework to say, hey, there's different aspects of life, and I should try and grow in those different areas if I really want to become whole and healthy as a follower of Jesus. God is concerned with all of us being transformed to be like Jesus, not just one aspect of life. So we're going to look at these four areas and we're going to work through some things related to these four areas. Just to help us understand them just a little bit better, I've kind of relabeled them to help us get a different mindset. So wisdom, it's really the knowing and doing well. It's not just knowledge. It's not just application of knowledge. It's the combination of those things where we know well and we live it out well. It becomes practically worked out in our life. So it's both sides of things. So wisdom, knowing and doing well. Stature, this is growing healthy physically, emotionally, kind of what we would say the physical part of who we are, but not just like the body, but just the brain, the wholeness that comes with our humanity. The next thing, in favor with God. This is really about being connected with God. We have a relationship with God that we need to foster and work at and grow in. And then connectedness with others, in favor of man, that we have a healthy connection with other people. These are areas that don't always come naturally, that we need to work at. And it can be easy for a church, it can be easy for individuals to get caught up focusing on one area over another. Because some things, depending on how we're wired, depending on how we're shaped, come easier than other things. And sometimes the tendency might be to let go of one thing because it's a little bit hard and just focus on the areas that come more easily. But then we're not healthy and balanced and whole people. We become off kilter a little bit. I want to talk just really quickly about some of what we do as a church to try and foster these four different areas. I've got four consecutive slides that kind of outline some of the things that we do. To save time and to save me just reading lists, I'm going to let you read what's on the screen while I kind of talk about a couple of those different areas. So wisdom, knowing and doing well, some of what we do. I think it's important for us to realize why we gather on Sunday morning. One of those things is so that we can learn and discover how we can do well what God calls us to, teaching and practice living it out in community. When we show up on Sunday mornings, sometimes we walk in and there's somebody that we might think smells funny or rubs us the wrong way, or we don't want to stand in front of them because we don't like how they sing. But we're called to love each other, not just be around people that we like and get along with. So some of what we do on Sunday mornings is practicing loving people that are different than us, that we don't understand sometimes. So this is practice. This is the learning to know and do well. One of the things up here is the invitation to serve and share God's love with others. When we stand up and we say, hey, we'd love to have people come out to a cleanup day on Saturday morning. It's not just about the cleanup. It's about giving you an opportunity to come together with others and serve. And learn to share what God has entrusted with you, your health, your ability to serve, to share that with others in a loving way. That's part of, we're trying to help you give opportunities to give and practice what we're talking about. When we ask for people to come and help with children's ministry on Sunday morning, and I'll say right now, we really do need help in children's ministry on Sunday morning. This is not just an example. But it's not just about having people in a classroom downstairs. It's about providing you with an opportunity to practice living out some of the things that you've been taught and you've taken in. It's about practical opportunities to do well what we've been called to. The coaching thing at the bottom, we have people that are equipped to help you walk through decision-making and discernment process and help you understand more about who you are and how God has made you. These are opportunities we have to help you grow within the area of knowing and doing well. Next one, physical and emotional care, helping people grow physically and emotionally. First one here, support from staff, deacons, house church members, and congregations as a whole. This support that we receive in this community is one of the key things that church does when we're thriving. And I probably should have listed them the other way around, congregation, house church members, deacons, and staff, because ultimately, if it starts with the staff doing the care, then we're going to be very, very limited in terms of how much care people get. I love it when I find out, like a week later, that someone has had an issue, that people who knew about it, found out about it, rallied around and supported and provided the care, and then I'll meet that person and I'll say, oh, this happened. And I'll talk to them and I'll hear the story about how other people in the community came around and supported them and lifted them up. That's things being healthy and working well. But that's something that comes with when we are functioning well, what the body life looks like. It's helping people to grow up well emotionally and physically. I've heard a few stories this week, and I'm not going to embarrass people about situations where there was just that type of thing. Somebody was in a crisis and somebody came along and helped and supported, sometimes in physical, tangible ways, sometimes just being that caring presence to help them stay strong and to lift them up when they couldn't hold themselves up. The last one I think is a really good one, encouraging rest and embrace of limits. It can be tempting when we have programs and stuff that we need to get done, to just ask people to do more and more and more. But it's not healthy. We all have limits. And so I celebrate the fact when people not just cop out of things and not just be lazy, but when they truly say, you know, I can't do that because I'm at the end of what I can give. This past week, we had a deacons meeting on Tuesday, and I had two different deacons call me for two very different reasons and just explain, look, I know we have this meeting tonight, and I feel really guilty, but I can't make it because I'm pushed to the edge of my limits for today, and I need to recover tonight. I need rest tonight. I'm disappointed when they can't be there, but that was outweighed by the celebration that we have men and women serving in that role who are aware of their limits and are able to say, nope, I can't do this anymore. That shows a sign of maturity and health that we want to model and demonstrate and encourage people to learn from. It was a beautiful thing. Connectedness with God. Some of the ways that we try to foster connectedness with God. The music that we sing on Sunday mornings. It's not designed just to get us to sing together as an exercise. We want to learn songs that you can then take with you. The truth is, when we walk out, very few of you will be able to remember a single sentence I have said. Of course, now that I've said that, that'll be the sentence you remember. But there's a good chance you might remember something from the song. And you walk out and that song is with you, and it becomes something that you can use as you move through the week to be able to express your heart to God and receive from Him. That's part of why we do this. The Emotionally Healthy Spirituality course was on a previous one. That, there's two aspects of that. One is helping people to grow in emotionally healthy ways, but this other piece is connectedness with God. Really, it's contemplative spirituality. It's called slowing down to be with God and learning to find rest and security with Him. Developing skills that help us to stay connected to God. Does your relationships take work? Anybody here married? But sometimes we think that our relationship with God will be fostered by just showing up and being around people who are talking Jesus' language, rather than discovering that there are skills that actually help us to remain connected with God. So we want to help you to learn those things, stay connected with God. And the last one, connectedness with humanity. Connectedness with others. Again, Sunday morning gatherings, participating in things that aren't always our favorite. It's not always our favorite song. It's not always our favorite preacher. It's not always our favorite lighting or colors on the walls, whatever it might be. We come and we participate in things that aren't our favorite because we're practicing being with people. We engage with people that aren't like us, and we learn to love even when it's hard and others aren't in the same place on the journey as we might wish they were. We have fellowship opportunities in house churches, and the last thing I'll mention here is the Emotionally Healthy Relationships course. It's going to be coming early in 2018, but it really is a course that focuses on learning some of the skills that help healthy relationships to thrive, learning how to talk through things that we might tend to either stuff and bury, or we explode, learning how to talk through them well and in healthy ways. So at Covenant, we're working hard to offer resources and opportunities in order for people to grow and mature as disciples of Jesus. And we want to do it in all kinds of different aspects because this wholeness matters. We could focus just on a knowledge piece, but then we aren't going to be healthy. We could focus just on relationships piece, but then we aren't going to be healthy. God's created you and me and wants to recreate us as complex, multifaceted people. To neglect any area to focus solely on one or two of the others is to work against true maturity, and it hinders growth. Now, we started talking this morning with the picture of a mother holding a baby. And how instinctively we know that we need this multi-dimensional growth. But there's another aspect about mothering that I want to draw a parallel from. That is that no matter how perfect a mother can be, a mom can't make a child grow. A mom can't force a child to get smarter or stronger or more thoughtful or kinder. No element of growth can be forced. What a good parent does, what a good mother does, is create environments that will foster that growth. So put children in the best situation in order for that growth to flourish and thrive. As a church, that's what we attempt to do together. We attempt to create environments that open the door for people to grow and flourish and thrive. There is no perfect church. If you're looking for a perfect church, I'm sorry, this isn't it. We're doing our best, but we aren't perfect. Just like there's no perfect mother, sorry. There's no perfect pastor. There's no perfect board. We don't do everything right. There's lots we'd like to do better. But we are trying to create these environments that open the door for you and me to grow and mature and become more like Jesus. That list I have there, nothing there is a magic formula. They are just environments in which we hope people will be able to enter in and engage and begin to grow. There's another element in this conversation about wholeness. I'll draw from the picture of mothers again. So a mother is doing her best. She's working hard to create all of the best possible environments and putting her child into those best possible environments. Could be the best school. Could be the best neighborhood. It could be the best lessons or teachers. Could be the best programs. The best of whatever it might be. If the child doesn't engage in those things, the child's not going to grow in those areas. There's an element where at some point, the mom does all of the best things and the child needs to engage in it. The inverse can also be true in that a child who is focused and committed, saying, I want to grow in these areas, can overcome all kinds of environmental obstacles. There's an element of responsibility that comes to the people. You know, my dad is a teacher, so I think of this in terms of a teacher's life. The number of times I know my dad as a teacher and principal got criticized because a child wasn't getting good marks or wasn't thriving at school, and he's looking at it saying, if the child would do homework and actually listen in class, it'd be amazing how much better they would do. The same is true in parenting life. The same is true in church life. We can create these opportunities, but it's up to me and it's up to you to engage in them if we're really going to grow and thrive. There are a lot of people who have been Christians for decades but haven't grown beyond a certain point because either, A, they've never really invested at all. They've kind of thought that if they can just come and sit and again, be around people who are talking Jesus language, that it'll happen automatically. And it doesn't. Or they've invested in one or two of those areas because they were the ones that they were most drawn to and neglected the others. So their maturity is kind of skewed. It's like one leg is growing longer than the other and they're wobbling. My point is simple. The optimum way for growth as disciples is where the right environments meet up with people who are truly invested in them. As those things happen, that's where it becomes the most likely place for growth. The meeting place between engaged individuals and proper environments is where we are going to best learn to love God and love others well. Before I conclude by giving you a really practical exercise to take with you, I want to remind us all of one final thing. Ultimately, growth is a mysterious thing. You can have people both working really hard, you know, just mothers trying to give the best environment, and children both invested, and they grow at different rates, and different paces, and different ways. And it's a mysterious thing that you can't always explain. Paul tried to explain it. Actually, no, he told why he couldn't explain it when he was talking to the Corinthian church. And he used the picture of a seed. He said, I planted it, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. In our walk with Jesus, not everybody grows at the same rate, at the same pace. There's something mysterious about this thing called growth. It's a partnership between the environment and the person that's invested, and God. And we can't always say exactly how it's going to go. And so we keep laboring with patience and walking this journey with a prayerful heart that says, God, please help this to grow. Help me to grow. Help us to grow well. I'm going to encourage I'm giving you homework. There's a long weekend next weekend, so kids are getting some extra time off school, and colleges and universities are out, so it sounds like a good time for extra homework. But hopefully you got a bulletin on the way in. Inside the bulletin, there's an insert. And on one side of the insert, there's something that's kind of like this with four different corners and a center piece. I know it didn't show up very well on the insert. I'm sorry for that. But that's the heart of it. There's four corners that all connect well to grow in the love that God wants us to have and to give. And then there's four simple steps on the other side that I want to encourage you to think about. The four corners are connection with God, which we talked about, physical and emotional well-being, which you talked about, the connection with others, which you talked about, and then knowing and doing well. Now, what I'd like you to do is, at some point in the next week, set aside a few minutes to just sit with this and prayerfully consider, what am I doing right now to help me grow well in all four of these areas? In each of the boxes, write something specific you are currently doing to nurture your holistic growth as a follower of Jesus. So something specific. So for example, maybe you could write in the corner, connection with God, you could write, I pray. That's not really specific. Do you have a practice, an exercise, a routine of prayer that helps you in that connection? Or physical and emotional well-being, sleep. Okay, well, at some point we all sleep whether we want to or not. Do you have something specific that makes sure you get enough sleep? And so when you go to bed and when you wake up. So think specific things. And you say, most of the time, when people first do this exercise, they find that some of them are this long, and others you're like, I don't do that either. And you're wrestling with how to fill in stuff on the other ones. Things tend to not be balanced. We tend to not invest in all of them well. So be honest with that. And it's okay that it's not right, because the goal of this is not to have this perfect. The goal of this is to say, what's the next step I can take in growing well in my relationship with God the way God wants me to? So take notes. How are you doing in each area? Be honest and give yourself lots and lots and lots and lots of grace. It's okay if it's not balanced. And if there's some things that are being neglected, the purpose of this is not guilt, it's awareness. So that we can go to the next step. Prayerfully consider what specific things you could add to the areas that are neglected. And I don't mean like a list to try and balance it. Just what's one thing that you can add in to help invest in that area? And then the second half of question three is just as important. What might you need to give up from areas that are overemphasized? If you've got a list this long on something, maybe there's something that you need to knock off that in order to be healthy. So spend some time considering that and particularly saying, what can I add in so that I can be healthy and whole in these other areas as well? And then the last one, there's some really bad wording on your sheet. I've corrected the wording on the screen here. Meet with a friend or speak to your spouse and share some things you're working to add or take out of your life in order to grow well. Just share it with someone. Say, hey, I've realized that something's missing over here. And this is what I'm trying to put in place. And even say, you know, can you help me? Could you ask me how it's going from time to time? Could you remind me of this commitment I made? Because I want to be whole. I want to be healthy. I want to be well. Jesus didn't come just to redeem a small little part of our life. He wants us to thrive and be healthy and whole, and He offers us grace while we work towards that. And so this is just one exercise that can help us to learn to grow in the way of Jesus, to grow in wisdom and to grow in stature and in favor with God and in favor with man. Let's pray. God, I thank You so much for Your love and Your grace and Your patience with us. God, I pray that You would help us to have that same kind of patience with each other and with ourselves. God, as we go from here today, as we wrap things up, give us the courage to face some of this stuff honestly, even though it might be hard. God, above all else, I ask that You would help us to grow. Help us to be all that You long for us to be, so the world can know Your love through us. In Jesus' name, amen.